find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Budget cuts are squeezing Wisconsin's state universities. Terry Bell reports.
The University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents passed its budget for the school year yesterday, reflecting cuts in state aid made by lawmakers earlier this year. UW-Madison will lose $7 million. That's the most of any campus. UW-Oshkosh is laying off 200 employees and mandating furloughs for the rest. UW-Parkside and UW-Platteville might do the same. 10 of Wisconsin's 13 state universities will operate in the red this school year. UW System President Jay Rothman has warned that tuition might have to go up and that more two-year branch campuses may have to close. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The stage is set for tonight's first debate of the 2024 presidential campaign. Eight Republicans will talk about the issues in a national TV forum in Milwaukee. Marquette University pollster Charles Franklin says the winner will be the candidate who gets the most attention.
The thing we'll almost certainly talk about is who landed a good zinger, or who had a moment where they fell apart. Those will show up on social media and be repeated.
Franklin spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Several civic media programs will be live from the Deer District throughout the day. The network will also have a preview of the debate starting at 6 this evening on most news talk stations. Republican state lawmakers grilled three judicial commissioners yesterday about when a judge should recuse themselves from a case. Nate Wegehout has more.
The questioning comes as GOP lawmakers continue to call on recently elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from a recently filed redistricting case. During the election, Protasiewicz called Wisconsin's legislative maps rigged. All three commissioners agreed that Protasiewicz's comments were protected free speech and that she would not need to recuse herself. The commissioners were all appointed to the commission by Governor Evers, but have not yet been confirmed by the Senate. The commission, among other things, handles ethics complaints filed against Supreme Court justices. If the Senate votes against their confirmation, they would essentially be fired from their position. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Record heat may set new records for demand from Wisconsin's power grid. Much of the state is forecasted to experience a heat index of 100 degrees or more today and tomorrow. During periods of extreme heat, the electrical grid is stressed with demand, which can lead to power outages. Utility providers are recommending closing blinds to keep the sun from warming your home. People are also encouraged to set their thermostats a few degrees warmer than usual and wait to cook with larger appliances until the sun sets. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The heat is on.
An excessive heat warning runs today and tomorrow, so stay inside if you can. Milwaukee Public Schools are closed today due to the excessive heat. The Deer District is mainly off limits.
From now through tomorrow night, only attendees, media, and operation crews will be allowed directly outside the venue for tonight's debate. Road closures and a no parking zone are also in effect for the streets around the Pfizer Forum. There is special parking for attendees, and they'll need to go through security to reach that lot. Civic Media will be live from the event. Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
Milwaukee Streetcar is extending its route to the under-construction Couture Transit Plaza, despite no immediate occupants at the final stop. The hop expansion is scheduled to start this fall. It will link the streetcar to the lakefront. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Brewers beat the Twins. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night at AmFam Field in Milwaukee, the Minnesota Twins kept bringing in their infielders closer to home plate. In the bottom of the sixth, the Brewers made them pay for it. Tyrone Taylor up to bat. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Into shallow right. Wallner coming on. It's going to fall. One run is in. Brewers have the lead. Taylor comes up clutch again.
Yeah, that's the problem you have, the risk you take when you bring the infield in.
The Brewers went on to score five runs in the bottom of the sixth on the way to a 7-3 win over the Twins. Did the crew take advantage of a few lucky breaks? Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
No question about it. Some softly hit balls found some holes. You know, once in a while you get rewarded for that. That's the old adage of why you want to put the ball in play, because sometimes something good can happen.
Willie Adames hit another home run. run. Two-run shot, his 20th of the year. Adamasan going from a slump over the last 2 months to suddenly hitting the ball with 6 weeks left in the season.
I mean, amazing. You've been with me the whole year, so you know it's been tough. Thank God that, you know, we've been feeling better, and hopefully we can help the team to just to contribute to the team, you know, to win more games.
The two teams play again this afternoon. First pitch 1:10. The Chicago White Sox have fired their vice president, Ken Williams, and general manager, Rick Hahn, after losing to Seattle 6-3. The White Sox are in the cellar of the American League Central Division with a record of 49-77, just ahead of last place Kansas City. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks preseason schedule has been released. The Bucks begin with a home game at Fiserv Forum Sunday, October 12th, against the Chicago Bulls. James Harden has been fined $100,000 for publicly calling 76ers executive Daryl Morey a liar. Women's basketball, Asia Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces scoring 53 points to lead her team to a 112-100 win over the Dream in Atlanta. That ties the WNBA record for most points scored by a player in a game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
solid. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And we are honored and privileged to have on the line Mr. Jamie Harrison. He is the chairman of the National Democratic Party. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well and hope you're doing well also.
Well, absolutely. To what do we owe this honor with you joining us this morning?
Well, you know, Milwaukee and Wisconsin is at the center of the political universe right now. You've had Republicans here for their first presidential debate. And I wanted to make sure, as the head of the Democratic Party, that we came, that we were here also, so that as the lies are told on the stage tonight, that we can make sure the American people are truly getting the truth.
You know, it's kind of bittersweet. A couple of years ago, you know, the Democratic Party was scheduled to have their convention here, and unfortunately, COVID interfered. And how long have you been in Milwaukee?
So I've been in Milwaukee for a few days now. Yesterday, I got an opportunity to really go across the state. I did an event at UW with some students, did a Black engagement event here in Milwaukee. I was in Waukesha County to do a women's roundtable. I'll be with some union members later on today here in Milwaukee as well. So we're meeting with grassroots community activists and leaders who make up the coalition that got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris elected to the White House. And this is going to be the coalition of folks who will support them and get them reelected once again.
You know, as a citizen, just watching everything that's going on, you know, as 2024 elections kick off with this debate, this evening, it's hard for me to imagine as a non-Republican that what they are offering is anything that makes any sense whatsoever. You watch what's taking place in the work that has been done with the Democratic Party and Joe Biden, and you look at who they're offering up, and you don't see, I don't see any way possible that, you know, this should even be a race.
No, it really shouldn't, because ultimately, you know, this election is going to come down to this. It's hope versus fear. It's unity versus division. It's chaos, you know, versus progress. we've been able to make some progress in this country under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And when you look at what we've been able to do and the hand that we were dealt when we got into the White House, remember, we're just coming off of January 6th. And we like nothing we've ever seen in this country since the American Revolution, the Civil War. Then you have COVID on top of that. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris rolled up their sleeves to get stuff done for the American people. And Republicans have been hell-bent on rolling back all of the freedoms and the rights that we've gained over these last 50, 60 years in this country. Take away women's right to control their own body. They don't believe in diversity, equity, and inclusion. Want to gut Medicare and Social Security. We see they got one guy on the stage tonight who believes that we should move the voting age from 18 to 25 years old. Some of them even love Putin. Just think about it. Ronald Reagan's party, right, is now also the Putin-loving party. I mean, this is who we have from the Republican Party. They're extreme. All of the apples in that bag are rotten. Regardless of if it's Donald Trump or DeSantis or Tim Scott or Nikki Haley, all of them are rotten. And when you get rotten fruit, you take it back to the store. And
if you're just joining us, I am joined by Mr. Jamie Harrison. He is the chair of the National Democratic Party. He's in town this morning and this afternoon, and certainly going to be going to many different events. I'm honored to have him on the line. But as a soon-to-be 70-year-old man, I have to tell you, sir, that I have never seen anything like what is happening in this country and what Donald Trump represents, and the fact that the Republican Party has decided that law and order, the thing that they claim to be, their honor is the worst that I've ever seen, and it shouldn't even be a race, but unfortunately it is. There are people who have bought into these things that these people are saying, and nothing that I hear them say on the right from any of them stands to benefit the American people.
No, you're solid and right on point on that. Nothing, because it's all about their own power. Remember, Republicans in 2020 didn't even pass a platform. As a party, you pass a platform so that the American people know what are the issues that you're fighting for, what are the issues that you stand on. They, for the first time in the history of their party, of any party in this country, they did not pass a platform. So they don't care about the issues. They don't. All they want is power, and for power's sake, not that they actually use it to benefit working people in this country. I mean, you think about, just take example of what President Biden has been able to do, even on student loans. He had a grand plan for what he wanted to do. The Republicans didn't want to do that, even though they got all the PPP loans, Republican members of Congress, and didn't pay them back. But they didn't want working people to get any student loan relief. They took the president all the way up to the Supreme Court. This right-wing Supreme Court then ruled in their favor. But President Biden didn't stop when they got that ruling. Just this past week, he used his executive authority to change some of the requirements and was able to waive student loan debt for over 800,000 people. And that's the type of president that we have. Yeah, he may get a roadblock that may pop up, an obstacle that pops up, but he doesn't stop. He's going to find some way around it, because ultimately he's trying to improve the life of the American people, while the Republicans, they simply just want to get back into power.
So, listen, I know we only got you for a couple of minutes, but I will ask you again, as a longtime voter, a supporter of the Democratic Party, when you hear the things about Joe Biden and the Democratic Party not echoing the great things that they have done under the Biden presidency and the impact that they've had bringing us out in and out of COVID, and yet they're not, blowing their whistle enough, you say what to that?
Well, one of the things is every single day, I know the president, every member of the administration, and I know myself in the Democratic Party, we are trying to make sure that we're getting on TV, that we're doing events across the country so that people understand what we have been able to do and accomplish and achieve in this country over the past few years. I mean, when you look at the stack of accomplishments, probably not since Lyndon Baines Johnson have you had an administration that has produced as much positive legislation on behalf of the American people. Now, one of the things that we don't have is the Republicans have networks that are an extension of the RNC. The Democrats, we don't have that. So we can't get that unearned positive feedback constantly. But just this week, the president said, we're going to put $25 million to make sure that we're running ads so that people know that those roads are being built, those lead pipes that are being ripped up, the internet that is now going into some of our communities. Who actually made that happen? It was Joe Biden and the Democrats in the House and the Senate that got it done. So we're going to be relentless in terms of making sure that in terms of events, calling the Republicans out for trying to take credit for stuff that Democrats did, but also making sure that the American people know why things are getting better in this country and who was responsible for that. And that's our goal and our mission over the course of the next few months as we move into this next election.
And the last thing I would ask you, sir, motivating, organizing people to vote. Clearly there are people, some people who are frustrated. It's a difficult time, even in the positive things that are going on. It's still a difficult time. What do you say to people who say voting hasn't changed anything for me, but I need things to change?
Well, listen, I can understand. I can understand the frustrations at times. Listen, I grew up poor on welfare, food stamps, got Medicaid. Yes. So I understand how that is, and I think many of us understand how that is. But the thing that we also have to understand is that we can never give up. We have to be relentless. We have to make sure that we are just as focused and vigilant in terms of protecting our freedoms and our rights and our democracies and the things that we need as the other side is in terms of taking those things back. It took Republicans 50 years to get rid of Roe versus Wade, which is something that was high on their priority list, to take away women's rights to control their own bodies so that politicians could make those decisions. We have to be just as focused and relentless in terms of fighting back to make sure that those freedoms that we've gained, the rights that we all have and we enjoy, that we can keep them, that the quality of life is improved. And so, Dr. King has this this quote that I often use from a letter from a Birmingham jail where he said, "We will repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people." It's time for the good people of this nation, of the state, of the Milwaukee listening area to stand up, to not be silent in the face of the bigotry and the hatred and division that we are seeing in the politics and that's coming from the other side.
I think that's very,
the only way.
Very well said, my friend. I look forward to meeting you this evening. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Jamie Harrison, chairman of the National Democratic Party. Up next, Mandela Barnes will be joining us. It's a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show this morning at No Studios, sponsored by SEIU. We'll be right back.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. this morning and continues until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 98. Winds out of the southwest 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 74. 95 tomorrow, mainly sunny. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show at No Studios, sponsored by SEIU. And I want to welcome back to the airways a great friend and just a great fighter for democratic principles, Mr. Mandela Barnes. He is the president of Power to the Polls. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you doing?
Good morning. I can't thank you enough for having me back on. It's always a good time to be here joining with you, especially when we get a chance to talk in person.
You know, man, you could have moved anywhere after the Senate, your run for the Senate. Why'd you stay in Milwaukee?
Oh, why not? You know, why not stay here in Milwaukee? The reality is work too hard just to walk away. And there were too many people who invested in me, too many people who gave me space, people like yourself. And for me to just have an election that didn't go my way and decide to just leave, that would be kind of selfish in my opinion. And, you know, look, for some people, that's what they need to do to get away from it all. And I understand that. But we've been at this for way too long.
Right.
You know, ran for office first 11 years ago, and for me to just feel like, you know, I had this tough break in November and it's time to just give up, that's just not the case.
Man, we are thankful that you are still here, still in the fight. And let's talk about today. Let's talk about what you're doing today.
Yeah, so today, here's starting out my day with you.
No. So, I mean, when I say today, you are the president of Power to the Polls.
Yep, president of Power to the Polls, Wisconsin.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yep, so Power to the Polls, Wisconsin is an organization, is a labor faith, civil rights coalition to turn out voters. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We need to make sure that we are showing up to the polls in large numbers. But the thing about turning out voters, so many other models just rely on simply knocking on doors and say, hey, come out to vote for this person. We want to do thorough year-round sustained and prolonged engagement with people. We want to show up and have conversations when there's not a candidate on the ballot, when there's nothing to vote for. We are working to build power in communities, and so people can actually know what's going on, so people can have a real sense of what government is or is not doing for them and who or who isn't fighting for their best interests. So I've been honored to be a part of this organization since the beginning of the year. The organization started in spring of 22, and we've been able to grow substantially. We've been able to expand from Milwaukee to being able to run a program this past spring in Milwaukee Racing and Green Bay. We knocked on 88,000 doors. We had 175 organizers on the ground, and we had deep, meaningful conversations with people. And we look to continue that work this year. We look to show up in just a few weeks. You might see some people from Power to Poles at your door. And we're going to be talking to, I like to say we're operating in the HOV lane. We are, we're going after those high opportunity voters. People call them, you know, fall off voters, unlikely voters, but these are the people who have real concerns in communities. And if folks aren't showing up to vote, we should be cognizant of why that is the case. And not here to say we can solve every problem, every issue, but if we take time to listen to people, to actually share their concerns, and I think that in turn helps them to feel more part of the process, which they've always been a part of. People just don't always realize it.
Let me ask you something, man. You know, there are a lot of young people every year turning voting age, and many who maybe don't even understand the process. Are you reaching out to a lot of them? Because there's so many of them out there.
There's a whole lot of them out there. One thing I will say I am proud of is here in the state, we had the highest youth voter turnout in the entire country. Now, there's still, you know, segments of that youth population that we still need to reach, the people who are still feeling like they're fighting for crumbs, feel like there's very little opportunity for them, feel like there's so much holding them back. I mean, it's not that they're just feeling that way. That is the reality for far too many people. We acknowledge that reality. And that's why, as a reminder to people, you know, I always say voting is the first step. That's the first thing you have to do. It's about staying involved, staying engaged. Just as organizing doesn't mean knocking on doors and walking away. A person shouldn't go vote and then just walk away from the process. You need to pay attention to what your elected leaders are doing. If the person that you didn't want to win happen to win an election, you need to still fight and hold that person accountable. If the person you wanted to win, you shouldn't just assume that everything is going to go according to plan. You should show up and either support that elected official when they're running up against tough times, or hold that elected official accountable if they disappoint you.
So let's talk about this event today, man, and SEIU, and the fact that you're buttressing up against the Republican debate. Let's talk a little bit about how that came to be and why that's so important.
Yeah, so Republicans are coming to town once, and they'll be back here next year again. And
so why are they coming to Milwaukee?
Because Wisconsin is a critical state. Wisconsin is a key state, and we know, or they know, we all know that turnout in Milwaukee will oftentimes dictate the direction of a statewide election. They know how important this state is, so they are showing up to try to chip away votes. Because, look, what you're going to hear from them is more of the same, more of what we've always heard from them, and that is restricting access, restricting freedoms, banning books, banning abortion, trying to make it harder for people to vote, and just a lot of rhetoric that seeks to divide this state, divide this country. And SEIU, which I'm so proud of partnering with.
So I hate to interrupt you, but we've got to go to a break. You got a minute?
Yep.
All right. Got to go to a break. Again, I'm joined by Mandela Barnes. He is the president of Power to the Poles. Very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, SEIU sponsored at No Studios. We'll be right back.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The front runner will be absent from tonight's GOP presidential debate. Donald Trump is expected to surrender tomorrow in Georgia's election interference case. Others already have. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Two more defendants turned themselves in. They include Kathy Latham and David Schaefer, who are both accused in the false elector scheme.
Rudy Giuliani is expected to surrender today. As for the debate in Milwaukee, Ron DeSantis is prepping.
Everybody should debate. Everybody has a responsibility to earn people's votes.
Dozens of cities in the nation's midsection are under a heat dome, which protected parts of Texas from Tropical Storm Harold. CBS's David Parkinson.
It wanted to come into Houston, but instead the dome forced it down south of Corpus Christi. So this is our magical buffer that is preventing any sort of a tropical landfall in the mainland United States.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. If you can make it through today and tomorrow, it will be back in the 70s this weekend. Record-breaking heat is here, with the National Weather Service issuing excessive heat warnings and heat advisories across the state. Forecasters predict triple-digit temperatures for some areas, amplified by high heat indexes. Cooling centers are running in most communities, and it's recommended to check in on vulnerable neighbors. Master Lock's Milwaukee operations are set to conclude March 29th. Nate Wegehoff has more.
Starting in November, layoffs will progressively occur until the plant's closure, March 29th. The move will result in the displacement of 325 employees. Master Lock's filing with the state says the decision was only business and not related to the caliber of Milwaukee's workforce.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes, from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up, or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg, from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
All right, welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. We are at No Studios, and my guest is Mandela Barnes. He's the president of Power to the Polls. And this special edition of the Earl Ingram Show is sponsored by SEIU. So Mandela, the Republicans are here. And whether or not Donald Trump, there's a big debate about whether or not Donald Trump should be here, as if, you know, the Earth is going to, you know, fall out of orbit, whether or not he's here or not. And your thoughts on just I was thinking about the people that they're having debate.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it because, that's what I do. But there's nothing I'm expecting to hear from any of the candidates.
Well, that's the thing. You're not going to hear any new ideas. And whether Donald Trump is there or not there, his spirit is still going to be there. These are a bunch of MAGA wannabe extremists. Like, these are people who are trying to fill some void in Donald Trump's absence. Like, everybody is really auditioning for a fill-in role. You know, they're auditioning to be the understudy. That's what this is about right now, because the whole dynamic does, of course, change if he's present. But what we're going to hear on the stage is the same things that we would hear from a Donald Trump in absentia, right? Like, this is a group of people who is going to try their best to appeal to a small sliver of the electorate, and a small sliver that, you know, responds, unfortunately, to coded language, and times when it's not even coded, right? Like, outright divisive stuff. You look at what these people are saying, what they're campaigning on, which isn't much. All they can do is try to divide the country in hopes to, and hopes to pull off some sort of upset.
It's unfortunate that they have done a good job of dividing the country. And when you say that one of the main planks that you have is culture wars, I mean, come on, man. It shouldn't even be a race. If that's the best you can do, and I often tell my listeners and challenge them to tell me one thing that the Republican Party has done for them, either on the state level or on the national level, to change their lives. They can't ever point anything out.
Can't point anything out. And there won't be anything to point out. It's all lip service. People are struggling in real time. They're getting lip service from Republicans, and things continue to get worse. And the bad part about it, or like the more troubling part about it, is we see it happening.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff is very visual, but these aren't people who care to share the experiences of the American people, so they'll never actually know what's going on in real-world America.
You know, real-world America is people who are doing the things that we've asked them to do all the time, work. People work every day in this society and don't make enough to keep a roof over their heads or feed their families. These are the things that Joe Biden and the Democrats have been talking about, and not just talking about, but delivering on. You know, I hear the pushback constantly about the money that was wasted on infrastructure, and I have to always remind Republicans, you guys voted for the infrastructure. It was not just something that he did, but it's been beneficial because in your cities and towns, you see these changes.
Well, the thing about that, too, the infrastructure money isn't even all out the door. It hasn't even really been spent. And in Wisconsin, no Republicans voted for it. But they're going to take credit when those projects pop up in the district, when those bridges start to get rebuilt, when those roads start to get rebuilt, when infrastructure like, you know, water pipes in communities starts to be constructed and replaced. Then, of course, then they're going to want to take credit. When broadband is expanded in rural communities across Wisconsin, I can guarantee you at some big announcements or ribbon cutting ceremonies, you will see Republicans showing up for a project funded by a piece of legislation they did not vote on, which speaks to the hypocrisy that they carry with them everywhere they go anyway.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, you've got a pack that you created called the Long Run Pack. Let's talk about the impetus for doing that.
Yep, so I started the Long Run earlier this year, shortly after the conclusion of the campaign. We did a lot of valuable organizing. We did a lot of coalition building, and we want to keep that momentum up. We want to keep that energy going because it didn't make sense for it to live and breathe with the campaign cycle. We want to make sure that we can be in a position to support candidates all across the country who are in similar situations, candidates who oftentimes get counted out but are in battleground, key races that could ultimately change the trajectory of this country for the better. And these are candidates who sometimes don't get the upfront support, as I mentioned, and we want to be able to help them out. We want to help them out with strategy, also call attention to some of these races as well.
You know, man, you know, I have to say, and because I only have for a couple more minutes, your thoughts, man. The Republican debates are here in Milwaukee today. The 2024 Republican convention is in Milwaukee. But state Republicans say Milwaukee is the worst place to be. It's you know, it's a hellhole. But the national Republicans are showing something. Who's right? Well, it can't be both.
I'm old enough to remember, you know, candidates campaigning saying you don't want the rest of the state to look like Milwaukee.
Right.
And now they're bringing their convention to Milwaukee. The reality is this is a fantastic place, and I'm proud to call home. Couldn't be more proud to be from here, still be here, and do work here day in and day out. You're going to have people on that stage who bemoan, who begrudge cities like Milwaukee all across the country without doing a single thing to help those communities. That's the real problem here. That's where I take the biggest issue, because for every complaint, you know, when I was in the legislature, for every complaint that any of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle had about this city or others like it, they never had one real solution. Everything we talked about, the people who actually represent the city, is as if our opinions and voices were dismissed in the legislature. It is all about trying to be as sensational as possible. It is all about creating an us versus them scenario, and that's what they thrive at.
So let's talk about the SEIU rally that I'm going to be at.
I will be there.
And really excited
about it. It's going to be warm.
Yeah. we're going to be in a nice air-conditioned place, right? Is it going to be warm in more ways than one?
Well, I tell you, it's going to be hot outside. It's going to be a whole lot of hot air in that room where the debate is taking place.
So let's talk about why, you know, who dreamt up that idea and why it's important that happens.
Well, we got to push back. You know, again, these are people who are going to take the stage. It's not a who's who. It's more of a who is that that's going to be on the stage.
All right.
And, you know, they, because of their lower tier status as candidates, are going to be saying some incendiary things. And it's important that the voice of the people is actually out there being heard. True American experiences are on display. And that is what SEIU is doing. That's why I'm so proud to be out there joining them, not letting these false narratives, not letting this divisive rhetoric win the day. We're showing up, and we're showing what it looks like when people can truly come together from all backgrounds, from all walks of life, different professions, race, religion, creed, whatever you have, right? Like, we're showing up on a united front, showing what the true beauty of this country could be and showing the true promise of opportunity.
Can you take a phone call or two?
Oh, man.
No, it's okay. You don't have to. Well, let me do this. Let me say this, man, because I know you got to run. SEIU and what it stands for in unions, I'm a union guy. I always tell people I know the power of the union. I spent 34 years as a union worker. Your dad, union man. And when I was a young man, 25-30% of this nation was unionized. And we were able to live middle-class lifestyles and do great things without college degrees. The importance of unions today.
I'll tell you, the importance of unions cannot be understated. You see workers standing up and a variety of sectors that wouldn't have even thought about organizing a decade or two ago. Also sectors that we wouldn't have even imagined decades ago, right?
Right.
But people are standing up for a better quality of life. And it's no secret that the middle class built this country. It's also no secret that the unions built the middle class. And with the attacks on unions all across this country, we have seen come with that a decline in the middle class. And if the middle class is suffering, this country is going to have hell to pay. And what is going on now is workers in factories, people, you know, working in the gig economy are stepping up, demanding more, but also winning. You know, the Teamsters has had an incredible victory with UPS.
UPS,
and
no
that,
question.
That Teamsters victory shows what's possible for working people all across this country. I hope that it is a signal to people who are looking to organize that they do deserve more, they are worth more, and they can get more if they stand up and fight for it.
Man, I got to tell you, I haven't been in the union for 20 some odd years, but I got excited when the Teamsters won, mm-hmm. right? Because when they win, mm-hmm. we all win.
We all win,
right? We all win, and that includes the person working at McDonald's mm-hmm. or Pick and Save or wherever it is. Until unions bring back the power that they had when I was a young man and when your dad was a young man and we were able to get the best out of this nation, until that comes back, it's going to continue to be a struggle. United we stand, divided we all fall. And unions certainly play a major role, and that's why I'm so excited SEIU is still fighting that battle.
Yeah, same here. I'm excited that they are fighting that battle, and I'm excited to be in this fight with them.
All right, Mandela, I want to thank you very much.
I appreciate you.
For coming, man, and I'll see you tonight.
We'll see you tonight.
All right, that's Mandela Barnes. He is the president of Power to the Polls and the founder of the Long Run Pack. All right. We'll see you later, my friend. But, you know, I want to say again about unions and SEIU and what they stand for and the kind of work that they do and have done and continue to do. People can say whatever it is they want to say. And I remember pushback that I would often get from people who would say unions are for people, you know, who can't stand on their own two feet. I remember towards the end of my time in Smith Steelworkers, 1986, there were younger people who came into our union, and they didn't understand the power of the union. And I remember pushing back and trying to get them to understand what it was. I remember as a 18-year-old snotty-nosed kid walking into A. O. Smith and joining the union and not understanding the power of it and having people, you know, tell me what in my generation, what the history of the union was. And it took some time for us to understand exactly what that was. It took some time for me to understand it. But I wound up later on, towards the end of my 34 years at Smith Steelworkers, 1986, I found myself doing exactly what the older gentlemen were doing to me when I came into the plant. And that's trying to explain and educate people of the power of the unions. And we're, here it is, 2023, and we're still trying to educate people on the power of unions and what that means. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. We're at No Studios, beautiful, beautiful No Studios, and we are sponsored by SEIU. We'll be right back.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlife, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlife will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.com/nightlight. That's joyengine.com/nightlight.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. An excessive heat warning begins at 10 a.m. this morning and continues until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 98. Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 74. Tomorrow, highs level off around 95. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
My man Calvin playing some solid music. Welcome back to a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. We are here at No Studios via SEIU, a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, as a big day planned here at No Studios. After the show, around 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock this evening, there's going to be a very special rally that is going to be taking place here. And I want to welcome back to the airways a very special woman who I had an opportunity to interview a while back, and her spirit stuck with me as I've talked about her on my show on numerous times, Miss Audrey Taylor. Good morning to you, Miss Taylor. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am on cloud nine, and I'm back in your presence.
Oh, bless your heart.
Let me briefly let people know who you are. You're a very, very special woman who represents tens of thousands of people and maybe hundreds of thousands of people who work in service industry. Mm-hmm. But who don't do what you did. You spent over 30 years.
Yes, sir.
In the service industry.
Correct.
And do you receive a pension?
No.
You don't receive a pension?
No, sir.
How long is the longest you worked at one particular place?
I've been with one industry. I started in 95 there. I left for a moment. My oldest son became ill. I had to leave, take care of him. And he wound up passing in 2006, I'm sorry. And left Milwaukee for a little while to get my head together. And I moved back in 2013, and I've been here, back here ever since.
So I remember the conversation we had before, and it was heartbreaking to me that you had worked all these years and did everything that people asked you, us to do. Go to work. You didn't sit around and wait for somebody to give you something. You have pride and self-respect, and so you've worked all of these years, and you told me you were once a manager of one of the fast food restaurants. But you spent 30 years in that line of business. Why?
Because I love the people. I love dealing with people. I'm a people person. There's no, I don't care if your race, your creed, your color. I'm a person that loves to take care of people.
But it's not just that. What's important about it is you've done all those things. You could take care of people in other areas. But what's the most, what is the pay scale?
When I first started off, I was only making $8.45 an hour. That was back in 95. Now I'm at $12 an hour, and it's 2023.
95. I mean, that's what, 28 years. You started at $8.
45 cents
an hour. And 45 cents an hour. And 23 years later, you're $12 and what?
$12.
$12. And let me say this to you, the listening audience, and all of you who call me. I hear people call me at times and say, well, those jobs in those service areas are for children, and they're starting jobs. There are not a lot of children doing the jobs that you were doing, right?
No, sir. They are like, they're scared to work. It take people like myself and other people to get the job done. We can't wait for young people to come in and do the work. We, at the way we are now, being 60 and over, we're supposed to be able to retire, but how can we? We're not, it's no money really out there, so we have to continue to work in order to pay bills and take care of our family.
So whatever happened to the 15-hour?
We're still working on that as
that's
well.
That's still a battle?
Yes, sir, because I'm also with the Fight for 15, and we were just in Washington about almost a month ago, and we're saying 15 is not enough. Now we're trying to kick it up to 17.
Well, yeah, $15, it is still unimaginable to me. $15 is still a poverty wage.
Correct.
And well, clearly you must have the best benefits in the world. You must have all kind of vacations and
no, sir.
And bonuses and all those things.
No, whenever I feel that I need to have a mental day, I'll take off. Or doctor's appointments of that nature, I'll take off. But other than that...
So you're a part-time worker?
Correct.
Full-time workers don't get benefits either, do
no,
they?
No, sir.
You know...
You have to be a manager.
You have to be a manager. And I'll tell you something. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, you know, because I often get calls from people who say that the businesses can't afford to pay you guys any more money.
That's what they say.
I know that's what they say. But, you know, people need to understand you guys aren't unionized.
No.
Has there been an effort to bring unions into this?
No, sir. No, sir.
You don't know why?
I don't know why.
Okay. I'm going to find out. Let's find out what that is and why. Because if ever there was a place that there needed to be unions. It's in the fast food area. And so, because it shows why it's so important to organize.
Yes.
and have people, because the sheer numbers of you that work in those areas deserve that.
Right.
You know.
Yes, sir. And that's why I'm here today speaking on behalf of all restaurants and caretakers, just people, laborers in general, that we need to have a union set in place at all areas.
So I got to get people to understand this. When I was in the union, you know, back, you know, when they still had stagecoaches and not cars, you know, Listen, we've got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll tell you that story of my time in the union and why it's so critically important now and why it would benefit all these different sectors if there were more unions. Got to go to a break. My guest is Audrey Taylor. It's a very special edition of the Earl Ingram Show, sponsored by SEIU at the beautiful No Studios. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.